الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And a very warm welcome to this week's edition of Revival in Motion. It's wonderful to have you joining us for this program today, and indeed a very special topic that we're looking forward to sharing with you on the airwaves of Radio Islam. Now, our special segment that we have planned for you today is aimed at addressing a topic that often leaves many with questions and uncertainties, the topic about death. And to guide us through this profound discussion, we're honored to have with us our esteemed guest who will impart wisdom and insight tailored specifically for parents in our topic, talking to children about death, both at primary and high school level. When it comes to death, as parents, we sometimes struggle to talk to our kids about the Islamic aspect as well as the emotional side of it. Sharing with us more today on the topic is a teacher, radio personality and mum, our beloved sister Masouda Jappi. Malima Masouda will be taking us through more on this topic, and we welcome her to today's program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Malima Masouda, and welcome to Radio Islam. It's wonderful to have you with us today on this topic. As always, looking forward to your insight, your wisdom and practical advice that you can give us on navigating this topic. Ahlan wa sahlan.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. It is definitely an honor and a privilege having to join you on air once again, Hafidha Rehana. To yourself and the listeners, alhamdulillah, I ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to handle today's topic with the best intentions, inshallah, as it is a delicate one, and inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us afia in the way in which we approach it, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to then do our best with regards to fulfilling this. And I do feel it is a right with regards to education, so this falls under that bracket. So may we do our very best in executing this right of our children, inshallah. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Malima, if we could begin by, let's go back to the very basics, because each of us may be at a different place in our parenting journey. And I'm wondering if I could ask you this, that as parents, how can we explain the Islamic perspective on death and the afterlife, particularly for our younger listeners who may be grappling with these concepts for the first time, perhaps losing a loved one? And where do we start? And, you know, yeah, we're talking about the Islamic aspect, so how do we get that conversation going? Tell us more, please.
Alhamdulillah, a very important topic. And like I mentioned in the very beginning, the rights of our children that they hold over us is to give them a good name, secondly, to give them a sound education, and thirdly, to get them married to a suitable and a good spouse, alhamdulillah. These are the three rights that our children hold over us. And it's not just an easy task to fulfill, especially the second one with regards to education. And education is, they so much, subhanAllah, with regards to teaching them about our beautiful Deen of Islam, how to live as a Muslim. But in our beautiful deen, nothing was left out. So even discussing death as well as the temporary life that we live in this world, that too was explained to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this life is just merely, almost as if to say, a stepping stone for the akhirah. It is where we are going to be then be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gain closer to him, so that we can then earn those rewards and build our Jannah, inshallah, for the akhirah. And that is where this is something that we turn to our beautiful deen. It is not only encouraged, but it's considered essential for our growth, our spiritual growth, as well as our understanding. Ultimately, if we're taking a look at the sunnah, we would look at the fact that all our children, depending on when we are going to be discussing this with them, they need to be prepared, okay? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on numerous occasions that every soul shall taste death. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul shall taste death. So this is a certainty that is given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That indeed, if you're looking at this, there is no way that we are ever going to escape the reality that this world is just temporary. That we are born into this world and that we would have to then one day leave this world. And only Allah knows how long we will stay here. Now, we have to remember that considering, like I said, the age of our children, we should use gentle and age-appropriate language when we discuss death with children. And it's important to use language that is suitable for their age and their level of understanding. And we should avoid using harsh or even frightening words that might scare or confuse them. And mind you, while I am saying this, remember, whatever we speak to our children, we must constantly remind ourselves that we should never lie to them. We should never even embellish what we are saying in such a way to euphemize it in, and make it seem contrary to what is taught in the Quran, contrary to what is taught to us by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this beautiful deen of Islam. We don't go straight to Jannah, so we have to explain to them what does happen and ultimately how we build our Jannah. Subhanallah, there's many different aspects of it. And it should be encouraged that we have these concepts taught to our children about life and death, and we should teach it to them. We shouldn't leave it out at all when it comes to our educational processes with them. It is all part of Allah's divine plan. And by using like simple explanations to help our children understand that death is a natural part of life and that it's just almost as if a stepping stone. So from this beautiful life that we have in this world, where we are going to be tested and we have to live our life fulfilling that which Allah has commanded us to do, we then move over to the point once we have passed away, then our bodies get buried in our graves, and then from that our souls then go to the barzakh. And if we teach this to our children, where they know this as a reality, when by any chance anything has to happen to any member in the family, whether it be their siblings, whether they're facing death with regards to a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, even parents for that matter, the reality is they have a firm understanding from a young age what happens to somebody who passes. And these questions are unavoidable. I clearly have the most beautiful of memories with regards to these conversations as I was quite young when a few family members and a cousin of mine had passed away. I could have been under the age of 5. And I remember the conversations that were overheard. And I would ask my dad questions and he sat me down. He said, I'm going to talk to you in a bit. And he sat me down with my siblings and my mom as well. And they both explained to us about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and how we were first just souls, and then from that we got then these beautiful souls that we were got blown into our mother's tummies when she was expecting us. Mind you, I was old enough to be able to understand, as I had younger siblings. I had a younger brother at that point, so I did understand what it meant at that point. Now you have to gauge with your child how much they would be able to understand. And then he taught us with regards to how to live our life to the best of our ability, and then what happens when a person passes away and what happens to their soul and how we will then be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah and stand before Allah and answer for our deeds. And then as we are being judged, we will then enter Jannah, subhanallah, and live a life for eternity there. So if you're taking a look at how you are going to teach it to them, it doesn't have to be a very difficult conversation, and it doesn't only have to happen when somebody passes away. This should be conversations that we have with our children and we teach it to them. Remember, we should never make them fear it, and that's the most important thing. We should emphasize the fact that how our life has stages, and I think that is something so beautiful. Talk about the importance of preparing for the hereafter. All of these are so important. And as you are talking about this, in the case of, say, for example, somebody has already passed away and this comes up because somebody has passed away, we have to provide that source of comfort and reassurance that we have to turn to Allah during difficult times, and including when we experience the loss of a loved one, and remind them that Allah is merciful and compassionate and that Allah hears our du'as and Allah provides that solace to us. us if we seek it, and we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant our hearts that ease. Shall we find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. We have to teach our children this from a young age, and then again, most importantly, to lead by example. On that note, I actually should have started here, to be honest, is that as parents, this is not something that we've ever planned to have a discussion of, but it is something that we should add into our life plan with our children, is that we should be on the same page as to what to tell them when they are really young and how their progression would happen. And because this has to be a conversation that constantly happens, remember, irrespective of how old you are, when death happens within a family, it can shake your very soul. It will make you question so many things, and you will feel so almost as if your entire world has shaken, which is absolutely normal. This is our innate nature that Allah has given us. There are certain things that will happen. It's going to feel very devastating. However, when we have this in place, alhamdulillah, when we know that this is only the will of Allah, and Allah only happens to take those who are at that appointed time, for we only live a certain amount of time, alhamdulillah, it makes it easier for us to understand exactly how we should be talking to our children about this. And it is so important for us to remember all of this is meant for us to be there as a guiding light for our children, inshallah. We have to look at it. There is so many different ways in which we can then look at from the sunnah how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would talk to children, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would interact with those who were younger than him, and he would come down and speak to them on their level. So if I have a very verbose conversation and use terminologies that my child will not understand at the age of 4, ultimately it's not going to sink in. They're not going to understand anything, or they might get completely frustrated and very upset and cling to possibly those examples that are taught to them from what they're watching and what they're seeing online. And that is problematic. That is why our education for our children has to be our main priority, inshallah. Ameen. Allahumma ameen.
Shukran for that. Shukran. That gives a lot of clarity. Perhaps if we could move to the concept of understanding, because that's so much a part of the acceptance and the journey that we go through upon death and afterlife, and accepting the death of loved ones. How can understanding that death from an Islamic standpoint bring comfort and reassurance to our children who may be fearful and actually may be confused about this topic itself?
Subhanallah, we're talking about comfort and reassurance, right? Especially with regards to children who may be fearful and confused about this topic. So when we're looking at death can be confusing, because a lot of the time, depending on what our children watch or what our children are exposed to, it is kind of vague to a certain extent, because it's almost as if our children at this point in time are the generation of instant gratification, and they want instant answers. They want to know exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to happen, and they want to see it in real time. Especially the fact that everybody documents everything. So the fact that they don't know that there's this mystery behind what happens can be sometimes confusing, and it can create a lot of fear. Especially if it was created by the things that they watch online and the things that they read, or what they tell each other. You know, our kids sometimes can be really mean to each other, right? But if we're looking at the fact that we go back to basics as a parent, Islam teaches us that death is not the end, and it's a transition to the eternal life in the Akhirah. Now, this belief can bring so much of solace as well as reassurance and comfort to our children, that ultimately those who have passed away, whom they love, are in a better place, and that they will one day be reunited with them in Jannah if they lead a righteous life, if they would believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would then pass away themselves as a Muslim. Inshallah, we will be reunited in Jannah. We have to remember that the belief, part of our aqidah, is so important that this has to be integral with regards to our teaching of our children. So we teach them that life is temporary. We teach in this world is temporary. And that inshallah, we will one day be in Jannah with those whom we love. It brings that comfort that it's not the end. It is human nature for us to feel some sort of pain or some sort of loss when and your devastation and that feeling of real uncertainty when somebody has to pass away. This is absolutely normal. This is how Allah has created us, right? However, if we emphasize with our children and we teach them about Qadr, for example, which is also part of our Aqidah, this is now to believe in Taqdeer, that everything, whether it be good or bad, happens only with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means today is sunny because Allah has wanted it to be that, and Allah has commanded the sun to shine so brightly here in our particular town. However, on the other side of the world, where it is nighttime right now, subhanallah, the sun is not shining only because of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is taqdeer. Something is happening only because of the will of Allah. We look at the rain, and it could start with basic understanding of all of these things with regards to having them plant seeds for this matter and seeing whether those seeds grow. And sometimes it happens where the seeds don't grow, and that is minallah, it is from Allah. Now we bring it back to things that's in their own life, right? So we talk to them about the fact that looking at themselves in the mirror, from their beautiful features that they have, their hair, their eyes, their nose, their mouth, all of it is from Allah. And sometimes they might not also be the way in which they would want it to look. Maybe they wanted smaller noses. Maybe they wanted green eyes. Maybe they wanted brown hair. Maybe they wanted, bigger ears or smaller ears for that matter. Or maybe longer fingers. Or they could be wanting to be taller. All of these things, right? But we have to teach them to accept even the way that they are as part of Qadr, part of their taqdeer, as Allah has willed it. And then too, once we start building this foundation, we can get to the things that happen within our life. So we can then impress upon them that the family that we have, our mother, our father, our grandparents, our siblings, and everyone that's in our life is only because Allah has willed it such. And that even when some people are no longer there, then that is also the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we have this understanding that these things are inevitably only in Allah's hands, that acceptance becomes easier. So you see, the reason why sometimes it becomes very confusing is because we become angry about death. We become so upset when somebody has to pass away because it's not what we wanted. And we forget who is in control. So this is where, if we're teaching not only just our children but ourselves, it does bring a lot of reassurance and comfort. And coming back to the Sunnah, which emphasizes that importance of supporting those who are grieving, if we look at how we would then go and console the bereaved, we go and make ta'ziyah by their home, and the fact that we are allowed to grieve for 3 days, alhamdulillah, we look at the grieving of a wife, when a husband passes away, 4 months and 10 days. Subhanallah. That time frame is given for her to mourn that loss, such a great loss in the life, and that type of support that we are supposed to give. If you look at the rules, and this is now not something we'll be teaching our children, but something we have to understand so that we can teach it to them, that when somebody passes away, a husband passes away, then as a community, as a family, it is our responsibility to take care of her, take care of her needs, so that she can then mourn this loss in her home, inshallah, to be able to take care of maybe the grocery shopping, taking care of the kids and helping her along this journey, whatever it is. This is where that compassion that we are teaching each other, and we teach our children, we provide that, we teach them how to show comfort to others. So when it is the time where we need that comfort and they need that comfort because something has happened to them, it is not as if they would be short of that community, because they know that this is what we do as Muslims, this is how we treat others. We then turn to the stories of the prophets of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam and righteous pious predecessors, alhamdulillah, who had then faced death with courage, and the iman can inspire our children and serve as examples to them that they can emulate during their time of loss and fear. The story of Hazrat Musa bin Umair, how he had not been fearful at the time of death. And I think to a certain extent we can even then utilize, because I know that a lot of these topics are most likely coming up because our children are seeing how so many children are passing away in Gaza. So many mothers and fathers are passing away in Gaza, and the way that they would do so, and they are not scared about death. So this is bringing up questions for them as well. And we would know that ultimately when we leave everything in the hands of Allah, we are satisfied with the decree of Allah. Then ultimately we can then be in that space where we can find ourselves being comforted, and our children finding that type of comfort and reassurance by fulfilling our understanding of death. Alhamdulillah, about how life is so temporary, and this is all through us turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
MashaAllah, I know that in your outlook, your approach, stories and teachings and parables play a very important part. And I'm wondering if you could share with us any specific teachings or stories from Islamic tradition that you find particularly helpful in explaining death to children, please.
Alhamdulillah, there are many examples, and I would love to be able to touch on a few, inshallah. When we're taking a look at specific teachings or specific stories from the Sunnah, from the Quran, there are a few that we can actually touch on. So we're going to turn now to Surah Al-Kahf, where we go to the sleepers of the cave, Ashab Al-Kahf. And although I would love to go into the story in depth, I know we don't have much time, and I do want to touch on so many more examples, inshallah. So briefly, just to understand the fact that the sleepers of the cave, alhamdulillah, is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, is about this group of pious youth who had sought refuge from a tyrannical pagan king, and in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to sleep for 300 years in this cave that they had sought refuge in. And their story is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had then safeguarded them and protected them as they were his righteous servants. And I look at the lessons that we learn from here, especially when our kids are younger, that we're teaching them that life and death, it lies only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is only from Allah. If we look at it, a sleep that goes beyond even a few days for that matter is not natural. So for these youths to then be asleep for 300 years and wake up having not aged, not having to then be older or anything like that, but having to then wake up as if nothing had been different for them in the cave. And once they left, only then did they find things have been different, that they woke up in a different era, in a different time, Ya Rabbi. Ultimately, this was that protection of Allah's righteous servants that had come for them, alhamdulillah. So if you're looking at a story to start our kids off with, alhamdulillah, this is a beautiful one. We also then have from the Quran as well, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam, where the willingness then to do that and sacrifice that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We look at the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his willingness to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he was instructed to sacrifice his son Ismail alayhi salam. Now this can be explained with regards to the concept of submission to the will of Allah, and that ultimately he understood the eternal life, and he understood the temporariness of this life, for ultimately our abode is Jannah. And not only did Ibrahim alayhi salam make the sacrifice, but Ismail alayhi salam willingly made the sacrifice as well to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why would they do so? For they understood what it meant to submit to Allah. Because they were willing to submit to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had rewarded their submission, for in the place place of Ismail alayhi salam, Allah had then sent down a ram. So the story is so beautiful. There is many lessons for us to learn from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and that we should then take too as well. As our children grow older, we look at the stories of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, who had then sacrificed themselves for the in the path of Allah to uphold this beautiful deen of Islam. We look at Hazrat Musa bin Umair radiallahu an, who had then was, you know, a martyr. Ya Rabbi, his story is so beautiful in itself. Alhamdulillah, never did he let the standard of Islam fall, for he had done so because he had submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So looking at these, the fact of how the Sahaba had faced death and they faced loss with such patience, Alhamdulillah, and such resilience, these examples are excellent for our children to be able to be had and to have. But just remember, depends upon their age. And I am not going to tell you as to when would be the most appropriate time. You as a parent can judge this for yourself with regards to how much my child already knows. And make them talk back to you and tell them these stories. When we incorporate these stories into conversations, Alhamdulillah, we help them develop a deeper understanding of the concept of death and finding comfort and reassurance in our beautiful deen of Islam, Alhamdulillah. Finding that reassurance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because then we're teaching them to rely on Allah. We teach them to then express the emotions. And then in doing so, we can aid and address whatever fears that they have and whatever confusion that they have as well. By us talking about death, we could talk about ultimately stories even as they grow older. And this is now when they are much older, not when they're quite young. I'm talking about in their teen years, where we talk about then the punishment of those nations who had come before us, because this is also mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah with regards to how they had disobeyed Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had then punished them, and these nations had then perished because they weren't obedient to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was sent to them by their Nabi. And if we look at it, the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, there are so many stories to take from their life. Alhamdulillah. We look at, it's not necessarily the fact that we have to look at death as being harsh or hard. Yes, it is a great loss. But if we have this understanding of where we accept, and we have to accept it because it is the will of Allah, and that is impressed upon our children from a young age, Alhamdulillah, it makes that so much easier. Subhanallah, it really does. May Allah make it easy for every parent, inshallah, ameen, including myself.
And so when we talk about struggles, we know our children are struggling with so much in this time, day and age, but many of our children are struggling with the fear of dying, the fear of death, the fear of all the unknown aspects of the afterlife. What advice would you have for children who may be struggling with the fear of death or the fear of the afterlife, and specifically the unknown aspects about it, please?
Subhanallah, what a question. I want to tackle this in two ways, right? So firstly, when we deal with fears for any age group, not just for kids and not just for adults, is that we learn to face our fears. Now, with regards to death, it is a very difficult situation because we can't necessarily face death and deal with this fear head on as we would, for example, deal with the fear of heights, or trying to figure out where that fear stemmed from. So the most important aspect of us dealing with concepts of fear and of death and the unknown aspects of the afterlife, it all stems from the fact that we don't know. As in, there's no, especially with this generation, there's no photographic evidence, there's no video evidence, there's no exact pinpoint we want to see it. And I'm talking about physical evidence, right? However, from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are taught about what happens to the soul, to a good soul, from the moment that it leaves the body. right? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the angels to be able to collect this beautiful soul and wrap it in musk. Now all of this is narrated to us from a beautiful hadith, alhamdulillah. And as our children grow older, we can then teach them the differences between what happens to a good soul or what happens to a bad soul. But for now, let's just focus what happens on with a good soul, alhamdulillah. And the fact that we have this fear is because it comes from that place of not knowing what's going to happen. And if we're dealing with this, I can't say deal with death by facing death. Now this is now working on risky behavior, right? Where they're going to try to be able to do things that could maybe lead them to the point of having to face death. Na'udhu billah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us all. But when we have to understand this concept, we have to remember that that fear had stemmed from somewhere. Let us look at what caused us to fear death. Maybe once upon a time, there was an incident that had happened where they maybe saw somebody pass away. Or they could have watched something where somebody had died horrifically. Or they could have watched something with regards to the afterlife, or they could have watched something that has completely against our own aqidah with regards to the afterlife, and they fear all of these things because of what they've watched, right? That's number one. Number two could be the fact that they themselves have experienced a traumatic event where they would have this fear of one day having to die and not knowing what then would happen to them. So this is where having a very open and safe space with our children is important, so that they can explain to us why they fear it. We shouldn't miss their fears. We should allow them to tell us what is wrong, and then we can then utilize the best of tools in doing so, so that we can then guide them with regards to accepting death. So similarly to what I have mentioned before of how to talk to them about our aqidah, of how we believe in the hereafter, how we believe that this world is temporary. When we have these and we believe these solely within our heart to the deepest depths, and it's not just lip service, alhamdulillah, that fear will be gone. The unknown aspects of the afterlife, it is because we don't teach or talk enough to our children about what happens in the barzakh. We don't teach them what happens before we are born, right? So what happened to us in the alim yarwah, alhamdulillah, and then for us to be here, and then once our bodies pass away, and then our bodies get buried, and then our souls move on to a different journey altogether. Alhamdulillah. Imagine having to then fully explain this to our children. But for us to do that, we need to educate ourselves, right? So this comes to that point where we're going to have to work on our own understanding so that we can help them move past that. We can only make them feel secure and feel okay with the concept of death if, and the unknown aspects of the hereafter, if we ourselves are comfortable and okay with it. It's not easy. I know for a fact, having both parents pass away, it hits you at certain points. Not saying that you're not going to miss those who pass away. And that should also be mentioned to our children, that you're going to miss those who leave this world. Because we're human, we have those feelings, we have those emotions. However, at the end of the day, death is not something for us to fear. When we fulfill that which is owed to Allah and we live our lives according to the sunnah, we perform our faraid that is owed to Allah, that means our fasting is in place, our salah is in place, our obedience and submission to Allah is in place, then we have nothing to fear. We are only fearing the fact that when we stand before Allah, there might be something at fault, that we might not necessarily get Jannah. So we have to be firm about the fact that we're getting Jannah, inshallah. And by making sure we get Jannah is by living our life to the best way that we can here. That gives us a sense of security, alhamdulillah. May Allah make it easy for us to do so, inshallah. Ameen, Allahumma ameen.
Now, when we talk about death and the afterlife, very few of us would connect the topic of gratitude and purpose of life, especially for young people. So I'm wondering if you could elaborate more on that. as in what ways does the concept of death in Islam promote a sense of gratitude and purpose in life for young believers?
With regards to death creating a sense of gratitude and purpose in our life, this one here is an easy, quick answer, inshallah. Hopefully I can cover this. I have to a certain extent covered as to our belief with regards to death and what happens in the year after, alhamdulillah. But knowing all of this makes us appreciate the seconds that we have so much more. Now Allah will only test you at your appointed time to happen to deal with that type of loss. So whatever the loss may be, grandparents, parents, siblings, a spouse, children of your own, cousins, best friends, whatever that loss is. But that creates a sense of understanding that, you know, I need to take stock of my life. And I need to put things into perspective now. And because that type of, it's almost as if a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this particular reminder from Allah that comes with it, alhamdulillah, we can now then understand that this is now where I put things into perspective for myself. We should teach our children to remember death often, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had reminded the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in to remember death at least 70 times. Because if we are reminded often of the hereafter, it helps us to prepare for it. So this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advice to Al-Barra ibn Azib radiallahu an, that when he was a young boy, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him with him to a funeral and had advised him to remember death often, because it helps you to prepare for it. Subhanallah. And then there's another instance where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to children the importance of performing good deeds to attain Jannah, and he warned against committing sins that would lead to Jahannam. So these teachings aim to instill a sense of awareness and responsibility in children regarding their actions and the ultimate destination, which is obviously Jannah, inshallah, ameen, Allahumma ameen. And that is our purpose. When we have that, it gives us the sense of gratitude for every second, because now we become so much more aware. Remember, we are the role models for our children, so they're going to see exactly what we do and they're going to mimic us. Irrespective of what happens, how we conduct ourselves at a mayit, how we conduct ourselves when somebody passes away, this is what our children will do when they are a little bit older. So let us be wary of our actions, so that those who mimic us, which is our children, is going to then be those who are, alhamdulillah, fulfilling the sunnah, inshallah, ameen.
Now, this is something we ask you often on our programs, and we're so grateful for you always being so open, so generous, so kind to share with us. And may Allah reward you for the many people that you help in answering these questions. I'm wondering if you could share any personal anecdotes or experiences where the Islamic perspective on death has provided solace and guidance to you personally, please.
Subhanallah. This one, yeah, I might get choked up just a little bit. So like I said, my dad passed away and Allah reclaimed his amana when I was 15 and a half. But before that, in that 15 and a half years, or rather just almost 16 years, subhanallah, my father and my mother together, alhamdulillah, had impressed upon us to be these beautiful, Allah conscious individuals, subhanallah. And he would constantly remind us, there would always be these reminders, that I knew for a fact what to do if anything had to happen to any of my parents. And like I said, it was something that was spoken about so often, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had then made it such that, alhamdulillah, he passed away when we were with him. You know, it had happened on a Saturday, the 29th of May 2004. I remember exactly everything. It's almost as if I can see it playing out in front of me. Ya Rabbi. But when that had happened, and a few moments later when you know, the doctor had come and said, no, he is gone, you know, that realization had kicked in. And the first thing that I had told myself was, my father taught me that I need to say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that I have to accept the will of Allah, that this is from Allah and I will be pleased with the will of Allah. And I kept on telling myself this, that I'm pleased with the will of Allah. I'm so happy that this has happened, because it is Allah's will and it was His time. And it was a source of comfort for me in that moment, because ultimately, when it comes to accepting death, irrespective of what age you are at, especially if it's someone whom you love so much, like a parent, subhanAllah, it is hard to be able to accept in that moment. Not saying that I didn't cry, I cried profusely, but in those moments, immediately afterwards, I remembered what he had taught us, subhanAllah. And it was something that was so fresh in my mind, because that week he kept on talking about the fact that, and asking everyone, this was his khutbah for the Jummah khutbah, right? So this is another, the day before he had passed away, he had asked everyone, are you ready to meet your Allah? And he said he was. And I remember when we were talking about that afterwards, it was a question that is something so beautiful that led me to constantly ask this. Am I ready to meet my Allah? Am I ready to meet my Allah? Ya Rabbi. And then taking a look at it 17 years later, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken my mom from us, Ya Rabbi, and reclaimed her as well. This had happened literally during COVID, right? I remember sitting next to her, and she held me close to her. And she kept on trying to say something. And I looked at her, and in that moment, Ya Rabbi, my heart was at ease, and I said, Ya Allah, is this time now that you are reclaiming my mom back to you, Ya Allah? So I kept on encouraging her at that moment. I have no idea what made me think it in that moment that I need to remind her to read her kalima, Ya Rabbi. And that was something that I had done in that moment. My brother kept on reading, my younger brother was with us, and he was reading the kalima with myself, and we kept on saying it over and over and over again, and she kept on mouthing it as well, subhanAllah. But she wasn't looking at me, she was looking past me. And that was my indication that that this was the time where I know, and from what she has taught me at the time of death, that you won't be seeing those around you, but you'll be seeing all the angels, they're welcoming you. And I was so, in that moment, so calm. And I am so grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed me to be that calm and that accepting in that moment. Because then too, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Verily, to Allah do we belong, and to Him shall we return. So in these moments, when we're looking at that time of death, let us then quiet ourselves down, especially when we know it's almost that time, and we turn to Allah and we ask and we seek Allah for that contentment that only He can give, that reassurance that only He can give, because this is His will. And the pain is still there. You can actually hear it in my voice, Ya Rabbi, that the pain is still there. We still miss them profusely. But ultimately, in those moments, I ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we face these moments again in our life, because it is definitely something that's going to happen. It is promised in the Quran that we'll be tested with a measure of fear. We'll be tested with loss of life, as I mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. We will also then remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, that every soul shall taste death. But one comforting thought, Ya Rabbi, the most comforting, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, that Allah will not test a soul more than it can be. Allah will not burden us more than what He knows that we can bear. So whatever we are going through in that moment, and these were the reminders of my parents, alhamdulillah, they'd always tell me that whatever you're going through, whatever life is put, whatever Allah, not life now, whatever Allah is putting you through in this moment, Allah knows you can handle it. So you've got this, alhamdulillah. So I keep on reminding myself, doesn't matter what it is that we're going through, doesn't matter how much we sometimes miss those who are not here with us, we remember them by sending isari thawab for them. We remember them by reading for them. We remember them by even talking about their memories, alhamdulillah, and making dua for them, because that is what the righteous children get to be able to do, right? So we send and we read for our parents, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate my parents' status in Jannah, inshallah. And may we be reunited in Jannah. Ameen. Allahumma ameen.
And finally, as we come to a close of our time together, and it has been so insightful on many levels for me, and I'm certain, inshallah, for our listeners as well, I'm wondering if you could share your final key message or teachings that you would like our young listeners to take away from our discussion today about death and Islam.
Ya Rabbi. After the very emotional one, I think the most important that we can remember is that The promises of Allah is true. In the Quran, we are promised by Allah that He will test us. And we will be tested in so many different ways. And by losing some people in our life because they have passed away, only from the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something that each and every single one of us will experience. But we have to arm ourselves with more knowledge about what happens when somebody passes away. We have to learn what happens to the soul once it leaves this beautiful body of ours and then moves on to the next stage, is subhanallah. And when we learn more about this, and I purposefully didn't go into too much of detail because it is a journey, subhanallah, that once you learn about it, it makes you so excited because of the fact that you get to meet Allah when you, after you pass away, subhanallah, and your soul gets taken up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want you to be able to experience that beautiful hadith, inshallah, and get to learn more about it with your parents, inshallah. I'd love them to be the ones to teach it to you. So that reward is going to be theirs. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. So yes, learn about it with your parents. Ask your parents to teach you more about how did they deal with the loss of someone in their life. And if they're still struggling and they're finding it difficult, let us remember to lift up these beautiful hands that Allah has given us and to ask of Allah to lift our voices and beg of Allah to ease our hearts, to grant our hearts contentment for the in that which Allah has decreed, in that which Allah has then put in our life for us to go through. Because even if we don't understand our strength, even if we don't see how much we can't handle, Allah will never put anything on us or give us anything that is going to be so difficult that we will never be able to handle. As Allah says in the Quran, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never burden a soul more than it can be. So you've got this. Whatever you're facing, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you afia, grant you ease. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you happy and keep you content. And inshallah, Allah, may we all be reunited with those whom we love in Jannah, inshallah. I can't wait for that day, subhanallah. I get to see my parents and my grandparents and my cousins and so many of those whom are no longer with us, and get to see all of them, ya Rabbi, and get to spend some amazing time with them in Jannah. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. So yes, I'd like to leave them with that. I just want to say Jazakallahu khairan again, although I want to also ask for maaf if I got too emotional, but definitely a topic that is worth speaking about, subhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all our beloved marhumin in our families, friends, community, society, and the ummah at large, maghfirah, noor in their qubur and jannatul firdaus. May we continue to find solace and peace through the Quran and Sunnah, through our beautiful, rich, simple, humble traditions in Islam. And may we all be reunited in Jannatul Firdaus with our loved ones. Ameen, Ya Rab. Wa'alima Mas'uda, it has been such a pleasure learning from you today, being inspired by your example and drawing from your strength. May Allah bless you and your loved ones infinitely. Ameen. Jazakum Allah khairan and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Jazakallahu khairan once again for this opportunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to find that solace and find that reassurance in our iman. May we find the comfort in our deen. May whenever we have questions that come up and bring up confusion and fear, may we find the answers in the Quran and the Sunnah as taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan once again to you and your listeners for giving me the opportunity to be with you for today, subhanallah. Look after yourself and do remember myself and my family in your special du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.